Ah, nice to meet you. Hello.
Nice to meet you too. I'm calling from Auckland in New Zealand.
Oh, my battery on my phone was about to die.
Oh
Sorry
no.
about that. This is a bad sign. Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
A mess.
All good, man. So you're really, really busy. You do over 100 shows a year?
It's a bit more like 150, I think, at this point. I mean, it's pretty much every. It's every other day.
Well, when do you find time to do things like the Obama mix?
At like 4 in the morning when I'm home, that's when I start noodling around, when the phone stops, and I can actually have a little couple hours to myself. But that was sort of something that happened over the course of 2 or 3 months leading up to the election. We were doing these fundraisers, and I was just trying to play songs and capture speeches as I was hearing them. And grabbing the parts that really resonated with me and putting them over songs that I felt sort of said the same thing, and taking like a 15-minute long speech and then crunching it down to something that was about a minute, you know, that was all the real highlights of stuff. And that was, it was sort of something I was doing every day, just compiling, and like a new speech would come out and I'd be like, oh, I gotta use that. He's totally saying the right thing. And, you know, trying to just get people on board and getting anybody who was sort of indifferent about whether or not to vote for him to sort of see the light, so to speak.
What kind of feedback did you get from people, your fans and things like that?
I would say 99% of the feedback that I got was amazing. But every so often you would get the one or two fans that were, you know, staunch Republicans that were like really upset that I did that, you
Really?
know. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's not like I can please everybody all the time. I mean, I can be a great artist and do great, you know, mixes and make great music, but I'm also still a person who has certain views and things, you know, that I just have to do and have to express. Can you hold 1 second? There's another call
No
coming in. Hang
problem.
on a second.
We're here, we're being silly. We got Supernatural, Z Trip, I'm Merce, and I like to have a good time. And on Saturday mornings, I used to like to get a big fat bowl of cereal and watch cartoons, motherfucker. And if you can't relate to this song, you're taking this shit too serious. It's hip hop, man. It's fucking fun. I love eating cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. I love Fruity Pebbles when I'm watching my cartoons. I love Super Sugar Crisp when I'm watching my cartoons. I love Count Chocula when I'm watching my cartoons.
Let's go. Pour the milk in the bowl. Make sure it's ice cold. Hold my hand on the top so it won't overflow. Forget playing outside with my friends from school. It's Saturday morning, fool. But you know it ain't cool. Waking up first, cause all that be on the tube is the snorks and smurfs. Juicy first, strawberry shortcake or worse. But coming up next was my boy Johnny Quest. Sim Sim Salabim. But Fat Albert was the best. The Brown Hornet picture pages made me wanna write graffiti. I had to do it when Davy and Goliath couldn't see me. Always trying to do right, they be hanging out with Dudley. But I watched Spicy Rice's rooting for my dog Muttley. You know what really bugged me?
What?
Cobots was whack. Man, they bit the Transformers. And that's a well-known fact, but
after these messages, we'll be right back. I love eating cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Frosted Flakes when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat alphabets when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love King Vitamins when I'm watching my cartoons.
I remember Teen Wolf tried to go vegetarian. Told Thundar he was a sick barbarian for eating tiger sharks with his Ninja Turtle suit. Because of that, the Herculoids had to kick him out the group. Yo, we used to be drama on the after-school scene. Tiny Toon started beefing with Beverly Hills Teen. But the get-along gang would come through and make amends. And by the end of the week, they were all super friends. But G.I. Joe would get them riled up again. Guns out, looking for weapons of mass destruction. Harassing Silver Hawks for little or nothing. Of course, the kids Care Bears wouldn't have the heart to do something. I call Voltron on these inhumanoids. But Centurions wouldn't let the Joes be destroyed. You know, even in cartoon, Americana can't be attacked. But at least you know now, and no one's half the battle.
I love to eat cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat honeycombs when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat Cookie Crisp when I'm watching my cartoons.
to eat Fruit Loops when I'm watching my cartoons.
Now right before we go, I think you got the right to know about She-Ra. On the low, she was a Thundercat hoe. Orko tried to cover up and say she got a man, but he lied. It was really one of Jim's holograms. After that, how God knows, he went around the back and found out Josie's selling pussy to cats. Charging 3-2-1 for a little contact, because Hong Kong Fooey had the illest pimp slap. Her sweet jabber jaws went to the highest bid. But what made it worse is she incorporated kids. So Marshall Bravestar came through with Captain Power and vowed the G-Force would shut him down within the hour, until Chippendale and the Rescue Rangers came through to say them hoes with a mouse named Danger. To make things stranger, she still gets a hoe. Won't let a hoe be a hoe, and that's one to grow on.
I love eating cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. I love Crunch Berry when I'm watching my cartoons. I love Rice Krispies when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat Golden Grams when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat Apple Jacks when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat Cheerios when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Trix when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I like Captain Crunch when I'm watching my cartoons.
What?
And you know I can't live without my cereal.
Yeah, that's it.
And you know I can't live without my cereal.
Sorry about that. That was my mom. She's actually showing up here tomorrow, and my wife's mom is showing up here tomorrow. We've been cleaning all day, and I'm trying to fit in some interviews while I clean.
Hey, is it true you were invited to perform at the inauguration of Obama?
Yes.
Is that
and
true?
And I'm doing Big Day Out, which is like, I tried my hardest to just dodge one of the dates.
Right.
And not that I wanted to back out of one versus the other,
right.
But I'm so attached to this campaign and was so attached to the situation that I was really trying to see if I could do all of the dates except one in Australia and fly back to do the one date in the States. But it ended up that it just wouldn't have worked. It would have been impossible. I would have ended up missing two dates because of flights and the whole deal. So it was, you know, at the end of the day, I had to just decide, okay, you know what? I did the hard work of trying my hardest to get him in office. Now he's going to be in office. So I'm just happy with that. I would have loved to have played there and done my art and my craft there, but just being asked is an honor, and you know, I appreciate it.
When it comes to something like something as important as trying to get Obama in, kind of separates the artists from the pop stars, really.
There were certain people who were saying what they needed to say and were using their craft to say something really important and doing it in a way that was really, I mean, like a lot of artists, whether they were musicians or graph writers or whomever, there was a lot of really creative spins on the whole campaign. On one hand, it did separate some of the real, real talent from the other people.
What defines success for you as an artist then? What are you aspiring?
Success for me as an artist is just being able to wake up every day and do this versus driving a tractor or digging a ditch or bagging groceries or whatever. Yeah. Any level of accolades or money that I make off of this is just extra added bonus, really. So for me, I am a bit humbled by all of it because, you know, there's a million other people just like me who are talented as I am, or maybe even more talented, but didn't have the opportunities that I had. You know, I'm very humbled because at any day, you know, it could all dry up and go away.
Who's given you the best advice about the music business? Who?
Oh, wow.
Who was that person? Or people, maybe?
Whew. Something. That's hard to say. I think, wow, you stumped me. Normally, I don't even get stumped on things like this. I would have to say, I'll flip it around and say the person that I derived the most inspiration from was probably Rick Rubin. That's the guy I sort of have based a lot of my earlier sort of drive was based off of the fact that he was somebody who I felt I could really relate to musically, conceptually, and was into all kinds of music, and that showed, but definitely had an anchor in hip-hop, and that is definitely a dude who, when I heard his stuff, it stood out, you know.